Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. That has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the executive director, the founder, the man behind the SLMA, the one and only, the amazing Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Roberts is our announcer for all things on the Funnel Radio channel. Our program today is entitled, Who Owns the Pipeline, Marketing or Sales? Let's face it, traditionally, the pipeline has been called the sales pipeline. It has been owned by salespeople. But is this really a true statement today? With the advent of new marketing automation capabilities and artificial intelligence applications, marketing is relentlessly inserting itself deeper into the pipeline at almost every level. The answer to this question will guide both marketing and sales to better understand their roles in pipeline management. To answer this question, we have gone to Dan McDade, who founded PointClear in 1997. PointClear helps B2B companies with complex sales processes that drive revenue through lead generation, qualification, and nurturing. Dan is an author of the book, The Truth About Leads. It's available on Amazon. Dan has been the president of UST Incorporated, vice president of marketing for a Bear Creek Corporation, then graduated from North Carolina State University. Dan, welcome to the program today. And our title is, Who Owns the Pipeline, Marketing or Sales? Dan, do you have an opinion about that?
I have a little bit of opinion, Jim. Thanks for having me on today. This is one of the most hotly contested issues that you read about in all of the trade pubs. And, the reality is that you hear about marketing pushing further and further into the funnel and into the pipeline. The actuality of that happening is somewhat limited. The reason that you hear about it is because marketing automation handling more of the cycles of contact and theoretically anyway, having warming leads more and more until they get to the point where they're ready for sales work. The reality is that a lot of these scoring algorithms allow, you've heard me say it before, Jim, more poor quality leads to go to sales faster than ever before. The statistics I read are anywhere from Sales Benchmark Index, for example, has an article and says 25 to 30% of the pipeline is produced by marketing. And I've also heard the other side of the equation, and this is CSO Insights, part of Miller Hyman, saying that sales is still required to source about 60% of its own business. My opinion is that it depends. It depends on what the target market is, and it depends on the average deal size. If it's a relatively commoditized, low price deal, then too expensive to go out and generate leads for sales. They've got to generate their own leads. But if you're talking about a relatively sophisticated, complex solution, then my opinion is that you should take your highly qualified and your very scarce and very expensive hunters and provide them with as high a percentage of leads that you possibly can to keep them busy on closing business rather than having to find business. But that's not necessarily bought into by everybody.
Don't you also think that it depends on how aggressive the marketing manager is and how they look at their role to serve the salespeople and to provide the most qualified inquiries and then to also help in the sales process with marketing automation, the content that's delivered? Good marketing managers constantly talking to the sales managers and basically says, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Can I do this? Can I do that? And after a while, the marketing manager gets to the position where the sales manager realizes that marketing is providing a huge number of their prospects for the pipeline.
I think it does depend on the aggressiveness of the marketing manager, but I don't think it should. I think the marketing manager ought to be aggressive by nature, recognizing that what have you done for me recently? So, and it's not a matter of piling a bunch of poor quality leads and throwing them over the fence to sales. Sales misses most of them. They end up in a black hole called CRM. And that's kind of the model that is out there right now. I think that problems are that marketing has a relatively incomplete view of what a qualified lead is. And that's because they haven't spent enough time as an organization to make sure that everybody's agreeing on that. And then also, that's one of the bad things that happens is marketing needs to have a better view of what sales actually is looking for. And then the other side of it is that, unfortunately, to some extent, salespeople do what you pay them to do, not what you want them to do. And they're driven by control, compensation, and credit. And a lot of times, that mentality is at odds with giving marketing credit for anything. So there's a lot of psychology, there's a lot of just broken processes out there that end up causing this to be a problem. I think the only other thing I would add to it is that I've ran into marketing people who say my job is branding. There's very few companies today that can afford to spend money on branding. They have to basically spend money identifying opportunities for sales to go close.
So it seems to me that you're saying that things haven't much changed in spite of marketing automation probably pushing over 50% installations in B2B companies, maybe not quite that much, maybe a little more. And all these articles about content management and the new people being hired into marketing departments, content management, marketing operations, these new software programs coming aboard, artificial intelligence, all of that. And you seem to be saying it's, in many respects, it just hasn't changed.
I think it's, I wouldn't say there's been no change, but I think I read an article recently talking about the companies that spend the most money at Dreamforce, for example, are the marketing automation companies. And the companies that have probably the most aggressive outbound staff are marketing automation companies. You know, they really don't eat their own dog food when it comes to scoring a buyer as they move along through the buying process and getting reading the digital body language and only contacting them when they're really a qualified lead. If you fill out a form or download a white paper from most of the marketing automation and really, frankly, most of the marketing enablement and sales enablement platforms out there, which there's thousands of them, you're going to get calls and emails immediately. So they're not waiting for you to go through a process of clicking on enough screens and or enough pages of the website and filling out more data, you know, the progressive gathering of information, but they're way too impatient to wait for that. If they've got a live one, you know, they're going to be calling them and emailing them immediately. One of the things I recommend is that you have a top percentage of your prospects that you don't ever put through marketing automation. They're too valuable. They need to be treated on a one-to-one basis. I mean, truly a one-to-one basis. I mean, most marketing automation today is still one-to-many. And then you might have 30 or 40% of the bottom end of the market that you really can't afford to proactively outbound to reach and build a relationship with over a period of time and, you know, manage them through the process of being nurtures and then pipelines and then highly qualified leads over a period of time. But a lot of companies will just basically throw everything into marketing automation. And candidly, and I think you and I have had this discussion before, Jim, is that the more senior executives in companies don't give up their digital body language using marketing automation. They will talk to you on the telephone. They're 2.5 times more likely than their lower level counterparts to actually have a conversation with you, but they won't give up their digital body language, which means that a lot of times the marketing automation solutions are pushing you towards lower level decision makers. And sometimes they're not even really decision makers, but they're pushing you to lower level staff. And you end up getting, you know, more of the low end deals as opposed to the more strategic deals, because that's somebody that's been more agile and more aggressive has reached out to the top companies in the industry. They've got them on a short list. You know, they're not waiting for marketing automation scores to come in so that they can actually call the right people. You know, we find that what's happening is that, you know, there are lists out there, and I don't want to use the name of anyone right now, but there are lists out there that they're so saturated that what we have to do is we have to look for people who aren't on that list, who haven't received as many phone calls. You know, somebody, I think, Jim, you may have referred to them as more lonely people, but we want to make sure that you don't just depend on the names that are provided on these lists, because a lot of times they're overworked.
What you said earlier rang a bell there, especially when you said one of your recommendations is to take this top percentage of the prospect, but retain them for the salespeople to talk to, because that's what they're supposed to be doing. And I am amazed at the number of companies I speak with, and everything is the system. Everything is the system. They're all treated the same, even though the person has answered questions such as, I've got authority, I've got budget, I've got a time frame for things. They've answered basic questions and they're begging for somebody to call them, and yet they're stuck into the system. So what is a marketing manager to do today?
Well, there's a complicated answer to that question. And before I get to it, let me mention a couple other things very quickly. You know, what you read, what you see is, it sounds very logical, but what you read is that the first company to call in wins the business in a vast majority of the cases. And my argument is that may be the case for a lower price, more of a commoditized item. But if you're talking about somebody beginning the search for ERP or for a more sophisticated solution, the recipient of your call as you follow up is going to be much more impressed if you've taken some time to research and to understand the business and even come up with some examples of similar companies.
Yeah. So what is a marketing manager to do today? Do they lightly touch all of these prospects through the system and keep the top 10% push them right to the salespeople right away with the most information they have?
I think, you know, that's a simplistic way of summing it up, but I think it's a good way of summing it up. I think that the biggest problem is that, and I hate to use this a word because it's overused, but the biggest problem is the alignment issue, because right now, marketing in many cases doesn't feel responsible for qualifying leads or pre-qualifying leads. And sales, you know, will disqualify leads on for unintuitive reasons. That's a word that Serious Decision uses for why leads aren't followed up by sales, but it's for unintuitive reasons. One of the reasons could be I called twice and they didn't call back, so they must not have actually been a lead. I was going to mention that more and more people I talk to, they talk about persistence being an important element in success, because I've had executives tell me that they got calls that where the voicemail sounded pretty good, the follow-up email sounded pretty good. They were kind of interested, but they said, you know, they'll call me back, so I'll just wait till the next call. Well, they never called back. You know, they were never persistent enough to hang in there. And it can sometimes take, even a qualified lead, it could take 6, 8, 10 follow-up activities in order to truly engage. And there's just not that persistence there. But I think the biggest thing the marketing manager could do is, number one, understand what the definition of a lead is, making sure that they're delivering what sales wants, or at least that the organization agrees what sales should get in the way of a lead. And then figuring out where the ownership for that sales lead qualification process should exist. I've always argued that what happens, this happens about every 10 years, is that, you know, it's centralized in marketing. The sales qualification process is centralized in marketing, and then it's centralized in sales. And then you have regional sales managers saying, somebody else has better people than I do. Let's just put it out in the region. So it's decentralized out into the region. And then they fail horribly at that. So they re-centralize it in marketing again, and the whole cycle starts over. Working that out to where it makes the most sense. You might have a marketing person who's not really, doesn't have a real strong understanding of sales, and the sales qualification process needs to be owned by sales. That's an individual by individual basis. But I would start with making sure that you know what the definition of a lead is, number one, and then number two, that you have a qualification process that does exactly what you said. It says, okay, here's 10% that are ready for sales now. Here's 20% that we need to do a little bit of work on and monitor them and making sure that they're sent over to sales at the right time. And then here's some nurture candidates that we need to have a program for. Let's take the bottom half of that list and put them through marketing automation, and the top half of that list, putting them through a more proactive outbound lead qualification program. And the numbers will change for each company, but they'll be, you know, be some similar, you know, 10% directly to the field, 20% to be worked as a pipeline. And then the rest of it, you know, is as it falls.
So the final question there is, and Dan, who owns the pipeline?
Well, I think the answer is it depends. I believe that sales is going to end up owning more of the pipeline, and what you're reading now about marketing working its way deeper into the pipeline is a little bit of wishful thinking, because as I said, if sales is driven by control, credit, and compensation, they're going to want to own as much of control as they can over the process, and that means that they're going to be responsible for the majority of the pipeline.
Makes good sense to me. When I take a look at what's going on out there in all of the articles and what have you, I think marketing, I wouldn't say it's being sold a bill of goods, because I believe in marketing automation strongly because it's part of that whole follow-up process. But you just can't rely on one tactic to do everything. And you can't just rely today on artificial intelligence or machine learning to do all of it. Dan, before we go, I'll ask you how people can contact you, but tell us more about PointClear. What is PointClear doing today, and how can you help people?
Well, we take an account-based marketing approach to our projects, and really that does a couple of things. One, it allows us to focus on the very best prospects for companies, and then two, to invest a little bit more time to understand what their decision-making process looks like, what their current environment is, that kind of thing. And so we help companies build valuable databases. They're valuable in that we generate opportunities short-term, but we also focus on the long-term value of the database. So that means that if we run a campaign, we're not doing a one and done campaign where we call 1,000 names, we generate 50 leads, and then 6 months later we call this 950 that are left and generate 45 leads. You know, we're looking at how can we mine the most value out of every touch with our prospects. And we have really a very unique onboarding program, and we use agile processes so that we're very nimble. We're running a lot of little tests all the time, and we're just always looking for what's the email that's going to work, what's the voicemail that's going to work, what is the opening statement and the call flow that tends to keep people engaged and having a conversation with you. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. The other thing is navigation and having good conversations. We have a very mature, very highly educated staff that's capable of having discussions with high-level executives. And, that's very different from some of these companies that are using much younger folks that haven't had the experience that our folks have. And then the last thing, I guess, is our pinpoint platform, which is where the cadence is managed. And the cadence, which we used to call multi-touch, multimedia, multi-cycle, so we're grateful that the word cadence is more understood now, but the cadence is the number of dials over what period of time. When do we leave a voicemail? When do we send an email? What are the response percentages that we expect from a benchmark standpoint? What are we actually getting? What do we have to tweak? Those are all things that go into the details of the campaign and where we feel like we're uniquely differentiated. As far as getting in contact with me, you can reach out to dan.mcdade@pointclear.com, dan.mcdade@pointclear.com, or just call me, 678-533-2722.
I know you're always willing to speak to marketers, help solve their problems. You're not always looking for a return. I know people come to you all the time for advice, and so I hope they take you up on that, Dan.
I do too, Jim. Thank you.
We're speaking with Dan McDade, Point Clear. He answered the subject, who owns the pipeline. He gave us a lot of things to think about in this discussion today. Dan McDade, thank you very much. Paul, over to you.
Once again, you've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many radio shows on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.